Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and joining me as always...
Ben Vanel here, Tommy, professional Fortnite player. I've now played about 12 games, and I'm winning, as are we all, as is the third co-host of this show.
If you were, hello, Adam Knox, if you were a real soldier, 12 missions would be fucking heaps.
Yeah.
So
you'd be unable to function in the real world.
Exactly.
Much like having played 12 missions worth of Fortnite. Well, you are right on the cusp.
I have been... the Fortnite point of like getting freaked out in a shopping center by too many choices of cereal. But we're in like one of those EB Funko Pop shops where there's, and we're getting freaked out by too many choices of which type of Groot to buy.
I've been referring to my apartment as the Hurt Locker. So this is all 100% accurate. But
bedroom the Spurt Locker.
Oh, that's funny. Good on you, Trevor. Marmalade.
Wow. We've pivoted from Fortnite, something the kids are playing, to the footy show circa 1993.
Yeah.
That's it. That's
something
it.
The kids it are was, watching.
It was my birthday yesterday, and it would have made my life a lot easier if the people nearest and dearest to me could have just given me some V-Bucks for a present. It would have saved me having to dip into my own savings account as we were recording a Fortnite video just before we started doing this episode where all three of us bought stupid new skins.
Yeah.
Don't reveal. For the purposes of a comedy video.
Don't reveal what they are. You got to go watch on YouTube.
Go check it out.
It'll be up now. Again, we're trying to find a match that we compete in and win that has human players, not just bots. I saw someone comment on one of the past videos we did. I'm telling my kids this is Blade Runner, which is good because it's filled with bots and we're killing them. But we're still trying to find a real match.
Yeah, we are going to keep going until we are playing against human players. But we've been Stockholm syndrome. Every other video we've been like, these are definitely humans.
Yeah.
And in this one, 1 minute in, we're like, well, I don't want to spoil it.
Do Ariana's dream of electric Master Chief.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes. Well, no, I had longer. I could have thought of something better than that. I had a very long time.
And we fucked with the new Imposters mode. So yeah, go and watch that. That was interesting to see how that actually plays out in Fortnite. But other things have happened. News has broken in the past 24 hours.
There are real life video game press conference events that I believe are being attended in person. Is Gamescom in person? I haven't double checked that. I've just sort of thought
That is a good question.
Look it up. Jump on Google.
I'm nowhere
near a computer at the moment.
I'm not sure
what
is his thing and what is just a general, like, is Gamescom a Keely thing?
I think it's German. No, I think I'm pretty sure Gamescom is a European
Gamescom.
We've got brand new excitements in the way of in the realm of James technology.
Yep,
James
that's
is
where
around
they're showing
the world.
Off a new Avatar trailer. Because James Cameron, he's the marquee event. He's the top tier headliner
or just
of Gamescom.
Stuff that guys named James would like, where they reveal the new type of boat shoes that are going to come in.
Sure. Yes.
Welcome everybody back to Gamescom and welcome to the Tan Pants Conference. And then all the Jameses give it up with a polite round of neutral applause. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's a boring name is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And shout out to all our James listeners out there.
Yes, yeah, we love you very much.
Can't wait to have the switchboards light up with feedback.
Yeah. Boring ass 61% Jameses. Of our audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Next week we'll be doing Matt. Matt Con, I guess.
Yeah. Very rich of Adam, Ben, and Tom as well.
But Jeff Keighley's thing is opening night live. That's the thing he, I guess, put together. He was pumping it all week. I saw the hashtag bandied about a lot. And that was the, I think, the 2-hour live stream that happened the other day.
Yeah, it's just like with that, his Summer Games Fest thing. And like he did that part, he sort of had the first press conference of E3
yes.
this year. That he just is, you know, top of the video game journalist pile. To the point where he is essentially a marketing man now.
I was going to say journalist is not what I would describe him as. I guess maybe he used to be one, but he puts together things, you know, convention streaming events with trailers. And that's,
He's the Van Wilder of video game conferences.
Sure. Mm. Jeff Keighley, press conference liaison.
Yep. Yeah.
I wish I could remember fucking anything about Van Wilder so that this could go for longer, but oh well.
Given that the area that it came out in, it's probably a fair assumption that there's a scene where doesn't someone have something on their dick that a dog licks off? I feel like every movie of that era had a scene of that nature.
Oh, right.
The Saints Row trailer featured a character eating a cream bun full of dog cum. That's
what I'm thinking
that's
of.
That's what you're looking for, Tommy.
Well, that was one of the big stories out of it is they're doing a... I didn't think any of the stories were particularly big. One thing we won't really talk about is there was an XCOM Marvel game that we'll probably play and talk about when it comes out. I like XCOM and I like Marvel, but just as a reveal thing, it's been known about for a while and whatever.
Yeah, it was just a cinematic trailer, I think. Yeah. I watched it before. So there's nothing else except for the reveal.
But that cum video was Saints Row being rebooted.
Yep.
Which makes a lot of sense because like Saints Row got silly. And it started off as like a basically sincere GTA clone.
Right.
A bit of a sense of humor to it and whatever because it was a GTA clone.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
over the course of that series got wackier and wackier to the point where you were playing the president flying around space and shit.
Yeah, that's
right. And rather than cranking it up another notch, sensibly I think they've gone... okay, well, we'll reboot it. It's in a new city with new people. And it still has that Saints Row-ishness about it where it's you describe it as irreverent if you didn't want to bother looking up a thesaurus. Mm-hmm. But right. Which I don't. So it's irreverent. and annoying could be another way to describe the humor.
Yeah, I don't think I even like that the humor of it of the original ones when they were being released. I think I didn't mind maybe the second one because again it was still basically a different version of GTA, which I loved at the time and I was happy to play more of. You know, there's a lot of customization in it, a bit of humor. But essentially that same open world game style. The third one, I think, was that the one where you play as the president and the aliens invade and stuff?
You're not the president in that one, but it's sillier. And,
right.
Like you're jumping out of planes and Power by Kanye West is playing and then you're shooting up a pipe. And like,
right.
I don't really remember it super well now, but you do. It is the turning point for it. And at the time it was, also didn't really get into it heavily in terms of the tone and stuff, but that sort of like parody of an open world thing hit even back in like 2011. The genre was swamped enough that 2011, 10 years ago, they were able to go, this is an open world game, but it knows it's an open world game or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep.
And a reboot of that doesn't interest me particularly, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think we're at the point where there's just not much you can do with any of the concepts that it would be. Like, if it's kind of a lighthearted open world game, then cool, it's Watch Dogs, I guess.
Mm.
You know, like, if it's a sincere open world game, then yeah, okay, it's still Assassin's Creed or GTA or whatever. If it's, like, it it's just, I don't know. I don't know where it fits into the world.
I think if it's a good GTA clone, I'll be all in because I want to play another. I've been replaying GTA 5, the story mode, and it's great, obviously, but I'd be up for something where, you know, the vehicle stuff is fun, there's good customization, and the open world is interesting, but there's no indication yet of whether that's what it's going to be.
Yeah. I can't believe you dug out the PS3 to play GTA 5. That's crazy. You know.
Yeah, yeah. I had to go to the parents' house, got it out of storage.
The other couple of things was Halo and Horizon Forbidden West.
Mm-hmm.
Is that yep. They both got release dates as well. Horizon is next year, which everyone kind of suspected at this point.
Yeah.
Is that the one that's coming out 2/22?
Sounds 22, right.
22. I believe it is, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Joey Jojo.
It's actually Shabadoo. Actually, a Simpsons quote was misquoted.
It's actually Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know.
Fuck. Kick me out of the 35-year-old club. I'm not worthy.
No, you're back in because of that local brewery hat that you're literally wearing right now.
It's also, it's Feb 18th, 2022.
Oh, shit. What's coming out on 22/22?
Maybe,
something was.
Maybe fucking Saints Row? No, that's... Mate. Yeah, maybe. No, I don't know.
Maybe it was Lego Star Wars, which was also shown and looks maybe interesting. Kind of open-worldy Lego game could be fun. But then Halo, yeah, December 8th.
Yes.
Minus a cooperative campaign mode and the Forge mode, which are two very well-liked modes.
Yeah.
That I believe Halo 5 also didn't launch with... And got patched in later, and everyone complained about it then. The 343, who are making Halo games now, have done this multiple times, releasing a Halo game before they finished it and having the release be fucked and have it take months for the game, or years in the case of that Master Chief Collection, for the game to become
right,
good.
Yeah.
And that December 8th release date being at least a year after when they thought it would come That's out right. suggests yeah. that the same thing is happening again.
Do you think a lot of that time has been spent trying to get those modes up to scratch and they just can't get it cranking and they're like, all right, let's just launch it without and worry about it later?
I would imagine that early on in this delay, relatively, the decision was made, well, we'll put these to one side because we need to focus on the campaign, which is the thing that everyone was criticizing.
Yeah.
Yep.
I believe they've said that co-op is coming 3 months after launch and Forge is coming 3 months after that, I think.
Right.
Like they've sort of announced the quarters. But, yeah, it's online and local co-op, I guess, that it's all missing.
I don't think local co-op... Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
It is both.
It's both. Which, from what I've been reading, is... not good. Like, that's
Halo
hugely popular.
Yeah. The co-op mode in Halo ever since the first one was always great.
Mm.
And there's a lot of people who are in the age group where Halo still hits, who are now older, who now maybe don't have the same amount of time to play games and had, you know, sort of set up. This is the thing they do with their friends every once in a while.
Right.
Yeah.
I get the disappointment at not being able to do that. In a timely fashion. If you're interested in playing the campaign, you kind of want to play it when it's out, right? Especially when it's on Game Pass anyway. So, like,
yes.
It's sitting right there. So, yeah, that's a shame. A very segmented weird game. It's sort of the nature of what games are like these days anyway, so you can't be too critical of them specifically for releasing a game in the same way that almost everybody else does currently.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah,
agreed.
It's very common.
Yeah.
As someone who has never played a Halo game before, Nox, would you recommend me dipping my toe into one of them before this comes out? And if so, which one? Or should I just hold off and go in completely fresh on this one when it's out?
I would say you're not going to actually play one of the others, so probably just... But if you were going to do it, Master Chief Collection is free on Game Pass and is they're all very good. But
okay.
Just the first one, I think, still A, holds up enough, but B, is old enough that it'll be significantly different from the new one, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Maybe not significantly, but if you gave that first one a go and like the vibe, then you'll know whether or not you're in for 6.
All right.
Right, and you won't burn yourself out on playing like a bunch of 4 and then 6 being kind of just a bit better.
Right, because 4, 5, and 6 are technically a trilogy. Like, the story is going to follow on, so sort of the answer is 5. But 5 right. is also probably the worst campaign that they made.
Right.
So don't do... I reckon 1, then Wikipedia.org, then Infinite.
Okay, all right. I'm going to fuck around with a bit of 1. I'm going to try and fuck around with a bit of 1.
But yeah, they're all on Game Pass, including the single-player mode of Infinite, and then the multiplayer will be free for everybody, free to play. And that's been getting good responses in the sort of pre-alpha or whatever they've been doing.
Yeah, 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 yeah. God,
so
yeah,
definitely looking forward to that.
These coming out on Game Pass is great. Like, there's a genuine chance that I wouldn't have bothered to go in on this. Obviously, I don't have an Xbox. If this was going to cost me $80, you know, on the PC, I don't know. I'd probably just listen to Knox say he likes it and go, well, he's liked all of them and I haven't bothered to play any of them. I'll just give it a miss. But yeah, Game Pass, like, you know, as we've said before, Microsoft, you're doing a good thing here.
Great.
Plenty
great
of games
service.
That I wouldn't have necessarily played otherwise, but definitely did play because of Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
One of those being, I think I would have played this anyway, but 12 Minutes.
Yeah.
Yes, indeedy.
I think I didn't know this was on Game Pass, or I forgot.
And suck
I was,
shit.
No, I played it on Game Pass, but
oh,
I would have played
it
anyway.
I thought you were $40
down. No. I'm not in the financial position to just willy-nilly buy a bunch of games every week anymore, but I would have gone in on this anyway because big cast, love Willem Dafoe. Loved the trailer of this and was definitely going to play this no matter what. This was,
I think so,
a big anticipation one for me, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a cool enough concept that I would have paid for it.
I think I would have as well because I was anticipating it too because it was like adventure game with a cool hook and like, you know, you'd assume relatively story focused because of that cast that I assume Annapurna put on at the end of the project by putting more money behind 12 Minutes thinking it was good. That's got to be the way it worked.
Yeah.
Or whatever, they do a good job. But I was honestly really disappointed by 12 Minutes personally.
I was not. I liked it a lot. I didn't love it though. I did think this could have been like a, maybe not like a Kentucky Route Zero, but you know, the indie of the year that pushed storytelling forwards in games for me. And it wasn't that. But I did enjoy it as a puzzle adventure game. And Tommy,
I got excited for it to be that too when I saw fucking right. Hideo Kojima tweeting out it was his favorite game since Inside 2.
Yeah.
That's such a stupid, weird, like...
But he doesn't have good taste.
No, but it's such a specific overlap of things to go, oh, like I like Inside and Hideo Kojima's weird. So just, you know, seeing him name check it when he posts, you know, his favorite movies are bullshit. The movies that he posts himself watching, it's like, oh, I'm watching Scooby-Doo 2. Like,
yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it really, what did you think as well, Tommy? Yeah, Ben was about to ask.
Yeah, yeah, because Knox and I have finished it, but Tommy, it sounds like about a third of the way through.
Yeah, I'm a few hours in. I've been playing this with my girlfriend. I will say that it's a good game to, play with someone else kind of in the co-pilot seat, especially someone who doesn't have much knowledge of video games in general because it's all there. Like the fact that it is, so it's without spoiling anything, the plot is that you're...
Right, yeah, we should mention we're not going to spoil anything.
We're not
going to
spoil anything.
No spoilers
so don't worry,
this week. We'll do some spoilers another time when we've all finished it and that'll be very clearly marked.
Yeah. You're in an apartment, there's a mystery, and you're stuck in a time loop. And so the fact that it's very...
I didn't know there was a fucking time loop on this game with a clock in the logo.
I beat it before the time loop even comes in, so I didn't even know that existed.
12 minutes, more like 4.5 minutes. I didn't get my money's worth.
So the fact that it's all... it's just it's a mystery and it's all very self-contained. You don't go to any other locations. It's all there right in front of you. It does make it, a very enjoyable and easy thing to collaborate with someone with who perhaps doesn't have the real lingo around video games that are, you know, there's not, it's all there. Like there's nothing to explain about really how it's working or anything. It's like you pick something up, you can, you know, you you combine things, you experiment, you fuck around. And yeah, I am really enjoying it so far, even though I have had to restart the game because I hit a brick wall and ended up looking at a guide, and what the guide was telling me to do was something that I was trying to do. I seem to have been gated from doing it. I seem to have maybe just like done something in the wrong order or done something to sort of somehow just kind of gate myself from being able to get this dialogue option. And I went back and was doing it again and trying different things and just could not get, you know, that option that's meant to open up for you to open up. And I was just finding it so frustrating that I went, all right, I'm going to restart and I'm just going to follow this guide up until the point where I was at and just, and then go from there to just get it to reset to the point where, yeah, to where I was up to get the thing to happen that I'm meant to be able to do, which just was not showing up for me in spite of me feeling like I had done all the things that it had listed out in the guide.
That's interesting because nothing like that happened to me, but it was a buggy game for me as well. Like with stuff like, I sort of agree with you as well on the point of like it's all there and it's clear for someone who's not.
Yeah, it's like an escape room. Like
except
yeah,
yeah,
that it also follows bullshit adventure game logic where it's like this thing that you intuitively know is the next thing to do is actually done by using this item rather than having a chat. You know what I mean? Like there's a few things that are also, in my opinion, logic leaps that aren't necessarily
logical. I think it's got a bit of that, and that is a common kind of pitfall of this style of game, especially one that is made with such a small team. Like it's kind of, when you're working on something like this, it must be impossible to kind of predict. Like you lay out the puzzles in the way that you think makes sense for someone to solve and put together, but what you can't account for is once it's in front of an actual other person, them going, oh, but I want to do it this way, and you know, whether you end up patching it to make it a little more forgiving of people kind of taking one extra leap. But yeah, I don't know. I like I said, when I read through this guide, it's like I've done all those things, but it's still just not presenting me with a dialogue option that I should have, because it's like, no, that person's aware of that, I've seen that, I've got it. But when I'm showing it to them, it's just still, it's ignoring it, even though it's like, yeah, I've had that conversation and I've had that happen. Like, yeah, I just couldn't work out.
Weird. Right.
That could either be something to do with an order thing, because that seems like a particularly significant bug to have if it were a bug.
Hmm.
But yeah, who knows? Because
it could also just be like I have to go back through and do. But I also was just like, some of the puzzles find it less annoying to just restart than to be going back through and just trying every option again.
Some of the puzzles, that's sort of the thing I'm saying as well, is that they're very specific in the order that the game wants you to do them. Even if you've come to the same logic conclusion, you know what I mean? When you have the same goal as what this specific sequence of events in the game would achieve, when you have the same idea as that, but are doing it in a slightly different order to what the game wants you to do, and it won't allow you in that way. You know what I mean? Because it's a time loop, I'll use a completely different thing that's not from the game to give you an example so it's not a spoiler. If you wanted to solve the murder of a rabbit, right? There's a rabbit there.
And who murdered Roger Rabbit?
There's some poison. Who murdered Roger Rabbit? Yeah. Who was framed for the murder of Roger Rabbit?
There you go.
Which would genuinely be a great sequel.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So you got poison, you got a carrot, and you got a dead rabbit. Someone's put the poison on the carrot, which has made the rabbit die. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. And so you show the rabbit to the person, let's say, to be like, or you want to show the person to the poison to the person.
Poison. Yeah.
To be like, someone poisoned the rabbit. But you show the poison to the person, they're like, that's poison, who cares? But you're actually meant to show the carrot to the person.
Yeah.
And go, the poison was put in the carrot. You see what I'm saying?
Sure. Here? And when you show the poison, after a while, they go, no further questions about this. Yeah. No more questions.
Or they're like, I'm leaving.
Yeah. Or they don't respond. Yeah. I didn't encounter like any bugs that like you did, Tommy. Like nothing stopped me from proceeding. And I think only one time really I encountered something where exactly that knocks. It's like, I've had this conversation. I know what this object represents. I know who needs to see it. So I'll just give it to them. And I was stuck for a while. And then I don't know. I looked up a guide once because I got to the point, I was like, and yeah, no spoilers again. I basically got to a point where I was like, I know that...
You know information that you want to give to a person, but you can't give it through dialogue. You have to give it through an item. Was it that?
No, it was more like, this is, I've figured it out. I've solved this. This, right. I know who this belongs to. I know where it is. I know who actually did this. Great. I guess the game is over. And then it was like, no, the loop keeps resetting. There must be more to figure out. And
right.
And then I was like, okay, I guess I'll look up a guide and see what I'm actually supposed to do next. And did that and was like, okay, there's a lot more to this. But yeah, in terms of mechanically me being like, well, I've done this and I've done this, so the next thing should happen. That only happened once. And instead of giving something to someone, I was meant to leave that where it was because previous new dialogue options will push the story forward passively. So I didn't really encounter the sort of thing of like logically I'm at 5 and I've got there by going 1, 3, 4, 2, but the game wants me to do 1, 2, 3, 4.
Exactly.
That didn't really happen for me. My issues with the game are only with the story, really. Like, mechanically, I thought it was great. It was a very rewarding puzzle game. I liked the top-down perspective. I liked the graphic style, the music. A lot of the sort of cuts and directing techniques the further in you go, I really enjoyed. But it's just the content of the story that I didn't fully like. But I did like this game overall.
Mm.
Yeah.
The ending certainly I found to be unsatisfying in a way that I have found the exact same story unsatisfying in another movie that contains this same thing.
Yeah.
And that movie is Austin Powers 3. And the fact that the dad turns out to be...
Michael Caine, yeah.
Michael Caine really pissed me off in this fucking game. No, but the...
No, I agree with exactly what you're saying, Knox. That's probably, the big downside for me.
But I also found everything leading up to that to be less interesting. And my largest problem with that was that... So the core mechanic is that you're in this time loop. And you're doing adventure game shit by picking up an item and combining it with other shit, but also in time. Like events play out every loop and you've got to time some of your decisions along with where they go.
Yep.
And the two places where that fucks things for me is that, number one, because I was playing it like an adventure game, the first loop through, when it's meant to be establishing a lot of story, but you're allowed to go off and do what you want, I was playing it like an adventure game. And so I don't know if this is a spoiler, but I think it's a funny sentence. So skip ahead 20 seconds if you definitely don't want any spoilers. First loop through, I had the wife unconscious on the floor. And so it's like, I get that making it open in that way is good, but maybe the game would have benefited from one go through playing it vanilla.
I think this is kind of the same thing that led to my kind of issue that I ended up having, my technical issue that I ended up having with it. Because I am really enjoying it, and I will say that all the style of it and stuff, the story I'm into, it's a cool conceit. I'm really enjoying all that. And the technical stuff I'm saying, I don't even know that I would really call it like a fault or would say that it's a big negative, because it's just kind of what these games are, and also it's made by a small team.
Yeah.
So you've got to be a bit forgiving. Like I said, there's a million different ways of playing this that they can't really account for. But yeah, this setup, it's not really clear when you get into it exactly what the aim of what you're meant to be. It's
right.
Like, am I trying to get out of the time loop? Am I trying to solve this crime that there's not even really an explicit like thing to solve straight away? I was sort of doing a bit of what you're talking about, Adam, where my first few loops through I was treating it like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day where he goes crazy, and I was just like,
because you're coming into it knowing it's a loop, so
you're resetting. I was like doing all this stuff to just kind of like fuck with it and like push the bounds of it and try this and see what happens and try this and see what happens. And I think somewhere along the way that kind of fucked me a little bit, and I sort of ended up doing some stuff out of order that now has kind of had like ended up like locking me off from certain dialogue choices and that's, whatever, instead of treating it like what you were saying in our chat, Adam, was that you weren't letting it take the lead when you started playing, which now doing this guide, it's like, yeah, it does want you, even though it doesn't really tell you this, it wants you to spend the first three loops just sort of sitting back and letting it happen when...
Yes.
Yeah, I think you get in there and you're like, I'll pick up this and I'll fucking unscrew this and...
Right.
Yeah.
The game massively benefits, at least narratively, from doing that. Like, if you're going to play it, let it take you by the hand the first few times and do a little bit of role, like, act as though this character would act.
I think I did the same thing, but I think I happened to fall into maybe how the game wants you to do it. I think I very quickly was like, oh, I figured it out. You do this, 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 you get that person in this state, you have this conversation, oh, I'm killing it. And it happened to just sort of fall out that way. I definitely did, having looked back over, like, looked at the other endings, looked at probably the same guide as you did, Tommy. Like, oh, I skipped a bunch of stuff. There are a bunch of conversations that you can have at the start that give you information that I skipped because I just sort of assumed that information and so started going straight into like, all right, how do I fix this? How do I solve the mystery? What do I need to do here?
Because I went back and like did all of that stuff sort of halfway through. Through, because I was playing it like an adventure game, I at some point realized, oh, you know what, I should stop just experimenting with these items and go through and do that. So then did all of the dialogue and kind of realized like, oh, you have to be this far into this version of the loop to then be at this point in the middle of that version of the loop to be able to use this item. And so the dialogue matters and the mental state that certain characters are in matters and that sort of thing.
Yes.
But I was never gated off from anything, and it is strange that that has happened.
Yeah,
possibly to you, because like I think that part of it was built well. That every loop you can just do the first loop or whichever loop you want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the game was also buggy for me, where like I was dancing through the walls early.
Oh,
on.
Really?
You can ask your wife to dance, and she danced into a wall. And then the cop comes in, which happens every loop. And he was standing there saying, "Ma'am, get on the ground. Ma'am, get on the ground.
Oh,
ma'am, get
really?
On the ground." Again, bugs like
I'm having
that
a lot of dialogue over
bit.
The top of each other and kind of coming in at points that sort of doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, two separate sort of things of dialogue kind of happening at the same time. Happening a fair bit for
you
me.
Can confuse the game because it is so like it's only a 10 minute loop order. I think it isn't 12 minutes. I think it's only 10. But
I saw that it was 10. Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
So I guess the last two is the ending or something.
Right.
But the 10 minutes that you're doing, not that much happens in like the sort of default loop or whatever, but you can fuck with it quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then the other problem I had narratively with it, and I'm examining it so much because, like, I finished it as well. I didn't look up a guide because I was enjoying the way that it was giving you the mystery there and the unusual format of adventure game that it was. It is, I did find it satisfying enough to finish it, you know, even though it was frustrating at a couple of points. It was experimenting with it is a bit annoying in the fact that it's a time loop and that sometimes you have to wait. And you've got to do a certain number of things that you already very much know how to do and have repeated a number of times.
Yep.
But to get to, like, you know, if there's four steps, you've got to wait several minutes for those first three steps to happen.
Yes.
But then also, that wouldn't have been as big of a problem if the main character, his dialogue at times doesn't seem as though he is acting like he is on the 100th loop of this. And I think that was a big problem I had with it, where he also goes through the same dialogue in the same exact way as though he wasn't just doing the last loop. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's a bit, it is a bit kind of immersion breaking.
It took
in
me
that
out
sense
of it.
That, the first, again, and if you play the first three loops how it wants you to, he does do that stuff like the first couple of times coming back. But then at a certain point, it just completely... completely resets
his reactions.
Just like throwing in kind of random,
and it
dialogue
lets you,
samples from a pool.
You can skip through the dialogue, but very weirdly slowly.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then
there's one bit where you have to skip like 15 lines of dialogue just to actually progress that bit of the story. Like you have to do it every time, and if you fuck up your loop with it, it's like, All right, I've got to click through another 15 lines of dialogue the next time through.
Yeah. Mm. It would have been nice to have like a rewind function or something in there for like, don't make me play the first fucking 7 minutes again because I picked the one out of three options wrong in the eighth minute.
Yes. But yes.
Other than that, and the ending being, I think,
a little hacky.
Worse than it should have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or worse than it seemed like it was going to be as well. And also a little confusing, a couple of elements of it, of the ending. Just like the well, you know, don't want to spoil
anything. We'll probably talk about it next week.
Yeah, we'll do a sealed section.
Yeah. But because it's on Game Pass, if you've got that, why not give it a go? Because I also think it's like quite a short game. I probably finished it in like 4 or 5 hours or something around there.
I reckon it was about that. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you wanted to go back through and do every different ending and whatever, then you're looking at more. But because, I went through and looked up what the different endings were after I'd finished one of them. And it's probably not worth going through a number of times for them. But it's okay. And it's a high concept thing that would be difficult to pull off.
Yeah.
And this game makes it seem that way.
Yeah. I think there's a lot to like about it. Like you said, Ben, like the moment where you realize like, oh, wait, hang on, this little thing, if I do this, if I set this up this way, then when this happens, this will, like those first like couple of moments that you have of that reminds you of why these sorts of games are so rewarding to play and so popular and why you like them in the first place. And yeah, like I said, if you've got, so it's a fun one to play in a co-op kind of way, like have someone with you to bounce ideas off. It was really satisfying, and part of why I, just before we started recording, I went back and was trying to get myself up to where we were because my girlfriend really wants to keep going with it, and she's like, "Yeah, let's get to the end of this," which is cool. Like it's fun. If you've got Game Pass, it's definitely worth having a go of. If you love these sorts of games, if this is your favorite type of genre and you don't have Game Pass and you'd have to pay for it, I think you still would get enough value out of it because it's a really interesting idea for one of these games, and I love that it takes you a little while to get used to the fact that like, oh no, everything I need is just here. Everything I'm gonna have to use is just in this room. Like
that's
getting
maybe
your head
the
used to the idea of like, I'm not gonna go onto another area and there's gonna be things that I come back. It's like, no, it's all here.
I think that's the best thing about it for me. Cause I used to play a lot of those LucasArts games and be like, all right, I'll go to this room. I'll check everything in this room. I'll go over here. I've talked to this person already. I'll go to this area. It's like, no, it's definitely all in this one-bedroom apartment. It's all going to unfold if you do things correctly. And the only annoying thing is that it's a bit repetitive. But, I'd recommend this game to everyone to at least try it, especially if you have Game Pass.
Because the acting is good as well. I don't know if it was pay Hollywood actors millions of, I don't know how much you got paid, but like it's not significantly better than a regular voice actor would have done.
It's weird that they have two British actors put on American accents.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's a little odd. But I did like both of those, Daisy Ridley and James McAvoy. And I think Willem Dafoe is fantastic and probably the best.
I think Dafoe's great in it. I think the other two are a little
they're a bit bland.
Bland and forget. Yeah, they don't, I mean, Defoe's got such a distinct voice and the other two just sound like, you know, they could be anyone. That seems like a bit of wasted budget. Mm.
It's cool that he plays the enemy. The fucking guy.
You know who's not the enemy?
Yeah.
Manscaped.
Oh. I already had loaded in my head that it was a good game, but it just wasn't very smooth.
Well, you know what? It can be smooth.
Yeah.
Your ball sack.
But I don't
if you
think it was like a good game. Anyway, sorry. My ball sack.
Yeah, it can be smooth if you use the products that Manscaped produce. You know whose else's ball sack can be smooth? Your father's.
Anyone's. Oh, yeah, your dad.
Yeah, Father's Day is just around the corner. You probably need a gift for your hairy dad. Make your dad proud this year. Well, that'll be a first. And get him and yourself the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right. The Lawnmower 4.0.
Yep.
Unless you heard 3.0, in which case you did not hear that right. Go back and listen because Ben did say 4.0.
I said 4.0. If you're listening to an old episode when we did the live read and it's baked in and we said 3.0, we're sorry. We're genuinely sorry about that. It's 4.0 now. We've moved on.
This scenario of you having a lawnmower 4.0 and then also giving your dad one for Father's Day, it's mm-hmm. a beautiful, like, last verse of Cats in the Cradle kind of updated, like, you and the old man, just yeah. tears in both of your eyes, you know, you're past the point in your life where you don't have time to hang out with him, you're like, Dad, let's shave our balls together.
Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon. My chest is gone and my balls are real smooth.
Yeah, we're out in the yard playing catch with a Manscaped ball trimmer.
Ow!
Yeah.
No, playing catch with a big tumbleweed made up of both of your pubes that's kind better, of merged yeah. together.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're wearing our... We've got our Manscaped trimmers clipped to our belt like it's a pager, yep. like a beeper. But yeah, Father's Day gift, locked and loaded. You don't have to go down the bottle shop and be like, does he like this kind of whiskey? Oh, wait, no, he actually yep. likes wine. Oh, but how much do I spend and what kind of wine does he want? Mm-hmm. Stop whining yourself and get a lawnmower 4.0 for your dad. And you know where you can get that, boys?
Probably manscaped.com.
Mm.
Or eBay. Don't get them off eBay. You don't want a secondhand one.
If you went to manscaped.com, would there be like some sort of code that could help you get 20% off and free shipping?
I'd, because I'm an idiot, type in the word filthy into the box, just guessing.
Yeah, well, you'd be right.
Whoa, I'm yeah. an idiot savant.
Yeah,
you're treating that site like an adventure game, just kind of experimenting yeah. with every option to see what happens.
I can guarantee personally that the checkout process takes less than 12 minutes. I'm willing to personally guarantee that.
Great.
Mm-hmm. All right. You'd stake your reputation on it.
Yep. Yep. And we'll stake our reputations on the fact that Manscaped make good products. We use them ourselves. They're a very good company to us. They've supported the show. They make good stuff. So go to manscaped.com, put in filthy as the code, get a fucking lawnmower, make your dad happy. Boom.
And you get 20% off and free shipping with the code. Is that right?
That's correct, Adam.
Hey, hey. I was wondering why there was a code, but now I know.
Yeah, great company, great product. We've all used them. We've talked about them a lot, and we wouldn't do that if we didn't think it was worth you guys having. So, yeah, go do the right thing. They support us. So, yeah, support us. Support your daddy.
Yep.
Support manscaped.com.
Support your daddy. Support your two little boys.
You can go beyond human evolution by using the tools that civilization has given us to improve ourselves. Almost like what happens in the video game, Humankind.
Yes, Humankind. I should have looked this up. It's the only thing I don't know about it. I know everything else about the game.
Wow.
So quiz me and you'll find that that is a true statement.
What's it called?
Humankind.
Wow.
Okay. What's its rating? As in like the ESRB rating?
Yeah, is it T for
rating?
Teen? Yeah. I'm going to ask you the question I know you don't know the answer to. Who developed it?
Amplitude Studios, Adam.
You Googled it in
yeah,
time.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. Amplitude, I should check their track record as well.
Hey, what's their track record? What else have they made?
Endless Space 2, Endless Legend. I've heard of them. So, I've never gone in on these. A friend of mine used to love it. He was a big RTS fan and a big Civ fan as well. And he went in on the Endless stuff. I think I own one of them, but I don't think I've ever played them, or if I tried, it was too confusing. Humankind is not confusing, though. It is basically Civilization 7. You know, it's the sequel of Civ that doesn't exist yet. It's the same sort of thing. It's a 4X game. You build up a civilization from the Stone Age. You sort of pick a religion. You pick different ways to run your society. You build outposts. You turn them into cities. You have diplomacy with other civilizations. And, like, each era, there's, like, a star's target. And you get a star by, like, building 15 new districts or having, you know, this many trades with a civilization or killing this many
units. Good job on the trades. Gold star for you. Well done. 15 buildings? Good boy.
Yes. And if you get a big mounted cavalry unit, you get an elephant sticker and all of that. But yeah, it's basically Civ with a few tweaks. The diplomacy is the main thing. It's more like a Crusader Kings where there's like some level of complexity to it, because Civ games are just like, trade, don't go to war, or like allow people through your borders and stuff like that. And it seems like humankind is a bit more complex. Visually, it's really nice and polished and smooth and beautiful. The battles are a bit more interesting. Like, you can opt into like manually doing them rather than just being like, okay, just a turn-based battle and it'll work out based on, you know, the roll of a
like
dice.
Like a Total War type of thing. Like how a little, you could do the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit closer to that where it's like you zoom into like a battle area and if you have a certain technology, you can add units in during the fight. If not, it's just like 1v1 and you can like do a siege on a city. So there's a bit more control to the battles than just a turn-based civilization sort of thing. The only... It's not a criticism, but it's like, it's so similar to Civilization, you know, like
right.
It doesn't innovate that much. There is a bit more complexity, but, and I'm playing it on Game Pass. So I didn't pay full price for this game. So I don't know sort of how to review it, if you know what I mean. It's like, well, it's as good as these games that already exist, but it's not that much better. But if you have Game Pass, why wouldn't you?
Sure. Yeah, it seems like that is the same thing people say about other Civilization games when they come out as well. It's like,
right.
Well, why get Civilization 6 because 5 exists? And why get 5 because 4 exists? So, like, it's the nature of this type of game where they're all a bit similar.
And I think with the Civilization series, it's like, well, you might play 5 over 6 because of the things they changed in 6. You know, it's like, no, I want to stay with 5 because, you know, I preferred blah. But this is a great game. I've played a bunch of it, you know, in the past week. I was intending to play more Boyfriend Dungeon and maybe, you know, some the WarioWare demo, but I just played a fuck ton of this and 12 minutes. So it's good. It's addictive. It's not reinventing the genre, but that can be a good thing for people if you are a fan.
Cool.
If you haven't played this sort of genre before, do you think this one would be like a good entry point?
Yeah.
Would this be a good first one of these games to check out?
I definitely think so. It's a bit more sort of fluid and fun and less stodgy and turn-based than those other ones. And there's a great tutorial. Like it's
right.
You got to read every fucking pop-up. But if you do, which I was doing, I didn't want to just wing it. Yeah, it teaches you very clearly how to play this game. And yeah, like I said,
it does have a lot more of like a kind of accessible looking aesthetic to than these games kind of tend to. Yeah, it looks like it's going for a bit more of a broad audience.
And if you have never gone in on one and you have Game Pass, go in on this one, especially if, you know, play it on PC, have a dick around. Yeah, it's good. It gets the Ben Vanel thumbs up.
Wow. Only very good video games and any butthole he can get near get that.
Yeah.
It's Ben Vanel's Hoppawatte of the week. Check it out, folks.
Well, thumbs up from me. Actually, I don't know. I've been playing the Quake remaster that like came out of nowhere because there was also like an id thing. I guess it was Blizzard Kong and all that as well. So what it, but... no, Bethesda. Well, I don't know where the fuck it came out of, but Quake had a sudden remaster put up. It's on everything, including Game Pass, and like if you've got the Steam version of the original Quake, it'll just upgrade to this automatically.
Right.
But then you can still play the DOS one if you want. But it is a remaster of the video game Quake.
Right.
Have you ever heard of Quake?
Yeah, I played it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it was then. It was back then.
It still is.
Okay.
It's a pretty simple, straightforward first-person shooter because it was coming out when they were still kind of being figured out. This was one of, if not the, it might have been the first one that was entirely 3D. Everything, all 3D.
Yes, rather than two
models and everything.
Not just 2D planes.
Yeah, and it kind of was one of mouse look wasn't even turned on by default in the original Quake. Which tells you how old it is, you know?
Right.
And it's still that old and it still has, you know, I guess caveats of being simple and whatever. But those are also positives in the modern day. Like there are plenty of games coming out that are trying to emulate this type of simple, straightforward, easy to understand first person shooter that Quake just naturally is. It also comes with 4 expansions on it, 2 of which came out at the time and 2 of which have been made more recently. But one of them is like alongside this remaster by Machine Games, who I think are the people who did Wolfenstein, right? The modern Wolfensteins.
Yep.
It is a good remaster. It's all exactly the stuff you'd imagine, where it's like the lighting's a bit better and the resolution can go higher and all of that sort of stuff. Other than, for some fucking reason, and I don't know if it's the game or if it's me or if it's something else, I guess it couldn't be because those are the only two things involved, my computer and the game. But the mouse is like drifting. It starts off fine and the mouse is one-to-one, and then it feels like lag gets added the longer I play. And it's a really fucking weird thing that has never happened to me with any other game with this mouse and this computer. I don't know what is causing that. So I don't want to necessarily say it's a criticism of this remaster, you know?
Yeah.
Is your desk on an angle? Like maybe your mouse is just kind of drifting down because your desk is on a slant.
Are you?
Maybe it's that. Maybe I'm slowly sliding out of my apartment.
You're not playing on the deck of a ship, are you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm in lockdown, so yeah, I was on a ship when lockdown kicked in.
Sure,
yeah. Every time there's a wave, for some reason, the game aims somewhere else. It's really bothering me, and I can't tell what it is. No, it's all normal. Everything's fine, and that feels like it's happening. So, and I did a couple of multiplayer matches, and they were very, very laggy, and I don't know whose fault that is as well.
Right.
But if that's a problem with the game, it's a big problem. I assume that it's not, because I haven't really seen it mentioned anywhere, and it's just some weird fucking thing that I've got. Because it happened in 12 minutes as well, that it wouldn't fucking launch on this computer until I did some obscure fucking thing to it.
Oh, yeah, I had to disable my antivirus to play 12 minutes.
Right, there's a bunch of people who had problems with launching that, because I found a fuckload of threads and whatever. But yeah, the Quake remaster, not so much. But yes, the Quake remaster is very good. It is reasonably priced on every platform. And I highly recommend the video game Quake if you enjoy shooting things in games and have a tolerance for old things.
Hmm.
Okay.
Which most of these fucking kids don't on their TikToks.
Dabbing. Dabbing at us.
Well, I've dipped in on the, speaking of, well, kind of is a remaster. Speaking of the old being made new. Something old can be technically 2 years ago.
Sure.
I've gone in on the Ghost of Tsushima director's cut. Is that what they're calling it?
Do you want to quickly mention the WarioWare demo before that? I thought we were going to do that.
Oh,
real
yeah,
quick.
Good point. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it is a good fucking point, actually, mate.
Your attitude's fucking drifting as well, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, the longer the episode goes, the harder it is to get him to stay on point. WarioWare, right. I was going to mention that too, Nox.
Yes, a demo came out during the week for WarioWare. Get It Together on the Switch, which is out on the 10th or 9th of September, I think it is. A couple of Fridays away. Yeah, I played a bunch of this. I think we were all a little... Well, Ben, you've never played one of these games.
Yep.
I've only played one of them. I played Gold, which is like just a kind of a best of. If you've only played one, I guess that's a pretty decent... summation of what these games are like. I think you and I, Adam, were a little skeptical about this, the concept of this one being that you've got this little, you're playing as little characters that are in the mini games rather than just the mini games being these self-contained kind of abstract little things that you kind of have to figure out what's going on in them. But the demo has, for me at least, put those fears to rest because I think it works really well. Basically, you unlock these kind of different characters that are in the mini games. All the characters control differently. They all have kind of a different hook about how they move around and how they can do little attacks and what sort of things that they can do. And so you have to put together a squad of them. And when you're going into the mini games or the micro games, you're being assigned one of these characters at random. So basically this hook of having the characters in the micro games, what it is essentially doing is every time you're playing one of the micro games, if it's one you've already played before, you're probably going to end up playing it with slightly different controls. So it basically just ends up being a way of keeping these games fresh for and kind of keeping you on your toes that you're, even if you've played it a lot and you're getting a lot of the same games kind of coming up in the random order, you're going to have to be solving how to do them with this character that maybe can't move left to right. There's like one character that can't move. He could just kind of shoot little discs out in a thing. So in a micro game where previously you may have been able to just walk over and grab this thing with him, you have to work out, okay, well, I've just got to shoot something over there to trigger that. So it's cool. And it kind of means that you have this kind of couple of seconds before each one loads up where you're shown which character you're going to be using in that micro game, and you have to quickly remember, oh, yes, okay, this is how they control. All right, and then get to grips with that, and then you're presented with the micro game, and you have 10 seconds to kind of, yeah, solve the little puzzle using the, yeah, just using what's at your disposal. I think it's cool.
Cool.
I think it's really neat. Mm.
I'm definitely going to play it in a couple of weeks as well, so we'll talk about it more then, but that is reassuring to hear.
Yeah, I think it's worth getting the demo and giving it a little go because, yeah, I'd sort of written this one off mentally a little bit in my head, and now I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's.
Well, that's something we'll be doing in 2 weeks. You know what else I'll be doing during the next 2 weeks? Is, you were about to say, Tommy, Ghost of Tsushima got an update.
Mm.
It's from 1 year ago, too, that game. It feels like it's been 2 to 20.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, that's only a year old, that game.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, because we were really down on it because we were all really depressed because we were like halfway through a big ass lockdown.
Imagine reviewing a game halfway through a big ass lockdown. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like Ghost at. No, I actually am really.
We all turned around on it, I think, was the thing, right? Like, we genuinely were so negative on it because we felt like shit. It actually is a great game, and I.
Might have been part of it.
I finished it, yeah.
I still don't think I like it as much as you two, but I am enjoying the routine of it that I found boring at the time. I am finding that relaxing this time.
Right.
Yeah, totally. I there's enough about the combat and everything that I had completely forgotten, so I cranked the difficulty all the way down to just kind of, you know, make it go a bit easy on me. And in going back in, I was like, yeah, I don't really want to get punished by this game. I don't really feel like playing this to be challenged in the combat, of which there is quite a bit even when you're just riding around. I was like, I'm mid-lockdown, I want to turn this on and just enjoy the beautiful environments and sort of, you know, the story is fine. Like, I know you guys were pretty down on it. I think it does a very good job of being a very video gamey story. I don't think it's like, it's obviously not on the par of something like a Last of Us or anything like that, but I think it does a good job of just basically setting you up like, hey, you've got to go here. And when I'm in these little moments of it's just basically setting you up to go from marker to marker, like I'm kind of into what it's doing as just a very simplistic, feels very kind of like classic video gamey sort of blank slate sort of story to me.
That has been helped enormously for me by switching it from English to Japanese dialogue.
Absolutely.
Which they've now lip-synced. I don't know if that's something with this upgrade or if that... I think that happened in a patch a while ago.
No, it didn't. That's the big thing from this upgrade.
Right, that's new? Well, it's transformative, genuinely.
Absolutely.
Like that and
absolutely.
The upgrades for the PS5 are that and better frame rate, better resolution and all that. It looks fucking amazing now. It runs... not that it didn't before, but it runs really smoothly. The Japanese dialogue and Japanese lip-syncing too, because this game is set in ancient Japan, really fucking helps.
Yeah, you know? That was... As much as I still think that the story is not, like, great...
No, it's not good.
And I think the facial animation and the acting... I guess, yeah, just the physical, the animation was never great in the at least the first version of the game. I switched it to Japanese in that version and the lip syncing was for English, and so I ended up just skipping a lot of cutscenes or skipping through, you know, fast forwarding. But yeah, everything else about the game becomes very enjoyable, very, very relaxing and satisfying.
Yeah.
It looks stunning, and it already did, but even more so with this upgrade. And just I like the way the grass is stylized in it. I forgot how much I just love the, it's not going for complete photorealism, but I really love that what it is doing. It's hard to describe. It's not fully cartoony, but it's like the proportions of stuff, especially in the nature design is and it's really appealing. And I'm fully back in. Like
This upgrade with the dialogue and with the visuals adds enough to the vibe and the atmosphere that it has lifted a grade for me for whatever reason. Mm. And also, I guess going back in knowing what to expect, because like the save file transfer thing was easier than it sometimes is with these upgraded games. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to install the PS4 version or any of that.
That's good.
And it I'd played somewhere around 26 hours, I think the save said, or something from last time, but sort of had also forgotten, yes, the combat and the particulars. So going back in and figuring that stuff out, you can set tutorial reminders back on so that it'll refresh you.
Yeah. Which is a nice. Great feature, and I haven't really seen in any other game. Like, I wish more games were conscious of the fact that sometimes you drop out for a little bit, and when you come back, it can be very unforgiving to get back into if you've kind of gotten rid of these systems out of your head. And, yeah, having the option of just... It's just a thing that you can click in the menu that it just resets all of the tutorials as if it's never told them to you before, which I wish more games did something like that, or had an option to go back in and play through the little things where it teaches you the combat things again very easily. Because that's been really helpful.
It's very helpful. And then also the fact that the combat is still just rock, paper, scissors, so it's a bit stupid, but whatever, is helpful. But I'm having more fun with the simple combat that it is this time, because something's clicked with it where I'm finding it relaxing in the way that going and... Do you know what else I did is I fucking found all 900 Koroks on Breath of the Wild during the fucking various lockdowns. So like, I'm really into that type of relaxing game at the moment where you're just going around a nice looking place doing some dumb bullshit. That is clicking for me a lot harder. And I suppose you'd say I'm vibing with this game. The addition of the extra expansion and a new island and all of that I haven't even gotten to yet because I hadn't finished the main story. So
yeah, me too.
Can't speak to that, but the upgrades to the base game are good.
Yeah, and like I don't know if I mentioned on the pod yet, but I finished Death's Door the other week, which is pretty combat intensive game, and I just really am in a zone at the moment where I'm, like I said, I don't really have it in me at the moment to play something where I'm getting punished by the combat and really having to be on the reflexes. So just having it be having the difficulty be all the way down and be able to just go into a camp and do this very simplistic combat and just run around like a fucking idiot and just wipe people out. It's satisfying. And that's all I want out of this game at the moment, is just to enjoy how beautiful it looks and have some like pretty dim story stuff. But for me, it's doing a fine job of kind of dragging me through it. Yeah, if you slept on this at the time, I think now's a great time to go in with all these little... It's insane that the lip-syncing thing took this long to
be patched so in. Fucking
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Because crazy that it didn't launch with it.
And the amount that it helps the game is like, it seems silly that it should be that big of an impact,
nuts.
But it really, really helps that just with you going like, yeah, I guess I am a fucking samurai, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, that's a big it's a big thumbs up on Ghost of Tsushima.
It's a
check
shame
it out,
that all
I reckon.
That PS5 stuff is tied to the like $45 expansion.
Yes.
I was about to ask about that because I'd love to go in on this for the lip syncing alone, but I don't know. And I mentioned a few weeks ago, you know, when we started talking about this as being, you know, coming out soon, like I don't know that I care to play the extra content. You know, I liked the main game and I would want to go back in to tool around a little bit and do some combat and ride around and, you know, experience those beautiful visuals again. But I don't know if I'm dropping, $45?
$45, just
for that.
Yeah.
So the
lip syncing hasn't been patched into the base game. You have to buy the director's cut.
I'm not sure if that's true. I think it might be on the PS4 version as well, which would mean I actually don't know that, and we should have come in knowing this, but we don't. But you know who can help? Google.com.
I looked into it and as far as I can tell, the only way to get it is by buying the extra content.
There are a lot of the visual upgrades and all that for the PS5 are definitely tied to it. So I guess it would make sense if it's all tied to it. But which is a shame, just considering that plenty of other games like Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which is the last one before Valhalla, got a 60 FPS patch on PS5 and Series X this week.
If it was $10 for a visual upgrade, a performance upgrade, and lip syncing.
The content.
And I'm not the kind of person to play an extra 10 hours of content. You know, I'm much more likely to play a new game.
From all accounts, it is on par with the main game, that thing. So, yeah, like me and Tommy haven't gotten up to it still, but at this point, intend to just sort of wiggle my way through the rest of that game.
Yeah,
off and on.
And I mean, I'm likely to get this and quiggle my way through the DLC. So it's just,
it'll go on sale probably. Yeah. So
there'll be a fortnight where there's no new games, and I'll go, ah, this is a perfect time to do it.
That's when I'll play Fortnite.
Yeah, speaking of something that, yeah, like I was saying, the WarioWare game, we kind of changed my skeptical outlook on. Something else that I have done that with after reviews dropping for it is Psychonauts 2. I think in our look ahead of stuff that was coming out for the rest of the year, we were all a little like, could not give a rat's ass about this game, but it's on Game Pass and it's getting good reviews, and it sort of... The more I look at it, the more I think I'll have a good time with this. So I think certainly me and Adam and maybe you, Ben, we're gonna have a go of it
I'll
for next week's ep.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to playing it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Yeah. I'm keen on a little 3D platformer.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The character's name is Raz. Because you said rat's ass, I thought the character's name was Rats, and I was like, Tommy, you don't even know what you've done, but it's Raz.
I don't give a Raz ass.
Rasputin, that's right. Yeah, one and two are both on Game Pass, so I might even jump in on one first, but I don't know if that'll put me on. I don't know, but yes, Psychonauts 2 definitely next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll chat to you more about that then. Is there anything else before we wrap it on up?
The current early access video for patrons is us making characters for ourselves in The Sims. It's a very, very fun video. We go through the quizzes and generate some interesting representations of ourselves. The plan for that is to do the week after that, make a house, and the week after that maybe do some actual gameplay or see if we can fuck around with some characters in there. So yeah, jump on the Patreon, patreon.com.
Bit of a Sims series.
Yeah, Sims series and Fortnite series as well. Going
what
at the
have
same
we
time.
Become?
We've discovered we'll that we are basic bitches who like popular games, I think.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think it would be fun as well to do maybe some other bits and pieces here and there too, because there's some other stuff I want to look at. So yeah, we're doing heaps of stuff over on the YouTube all the time.
Yeah. We're starting to see people find us through the YouTube now, which is cool. I'm really enjoying
there, I guess.
I think we're all enjoying doing all of the stuff we do at the moment. It's it's a good time to be doing Filthy Casuals, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, go check it out, guys. We've got Gang Beasts video. We've got all sorts of stuff. And feel free to get in there and recommend stuff that you might like to see us have a go of that maybe we're not aware of yet.
Now
a few people
seems
have said
like
they'd like to see us do Human Fall Flat, which I don't really know anything about, but it seems like that could be a fun one.
And we've got another band camp we'll be recording in lockdown, which now seems like a good time, speaking of all this, to mention that I am leaving the podcast.
you're right, Tommy. Humans Fall Flat is like a co-op platformer version of Gang Beasts, it looks like, where you sort of have to work
physics
together.
Physics-based movement type
of thing. So yeah, that's on the horizon potentially. But like fucking old games, we've still got, you know, Nox's Infinity Games Machine. There's a bunch of stuff we could dip in on. So yeah, I think, yeah, let us know. Jump in the comments on YouTube or on the socials. But good time to be a gamer.
Filthycasuals.com.au. You can find the link to our Patreon there if you want to get a bonus episode every week, where we're currently going through the 2000s, doing years in review one by one. A lot of fun, a lot of people enjoying them. You can get our entire back catalogue where we've done all sorts of stuff over there. And early access to the videos that we mentioned. The Bandcamp is on the website, all that kind of stuff. If you want more content, get around that. Guys, thank you for listening. We will see you next time, and as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Good morning, video games. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and this is Filthy Casuals, a video games podcast hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always, that's how you do it. It was a time loop thing.
I love it. I love it.
You're going to love it even more next time.